Here we go. We're on.
That was the Phoenix Trilogy by David Sandercock. That's cut number 6 with vocals by Alexandra Trowick. We're using the Phoenix Trilogy because we're going to talk today about From the Ashes. We're going to talk about technology. This is our 6th in the series of Who and What to Believe. And we're going to talk about devices today. This is Sherry Edwards on BBS Radio. The name of the show is Sound Health Alternatives, and we're very glad that you could be with us for a bit of conversation that I'm designed to offer you information and options for self-health. We have Bob Bethel with us. He is the COO of Sound Health, Inc., the marketing department for the company that I work with. We don't talk about that company much, but we're going to talk about some of its products today, and how those products arrived from a creativity and thin air and just as an idea. And we have Ralph Fusatola on the line. He's an attorney and a specialist in health, and he's going to talk to us about devices and how they come to market and how we know who and what to trust. Ralph, are you with us on the phone?
Yes, I am. It's hard for me to hear you, though.
Okay, I'll try to get closer to the phone.
All right.
Ralph, a little bit of your background. You're an attorney. You specialize in self-health.
Well, yes, I've been a lawyer for 34 years. I've represented a lot of people in the nutritional industry and also a lot of people involved in alternative and complementary healing and worked with a number of emerging enterprises.
And Bob, you have been working and manufacturing some of the devices for Sound Health. What are some of those devices that you're involved with?
The one specifically is the little back box, not little black box, but little back box for, we found the specific sounds that help relieve some of the stress and discomfort in the back just by listening to sounds through a set of headphones. And we have a gout, a box that plays a sound for gout, which helps relieve the discomfort in the feet from gout, which has worked real well for me. We're working on a snoring device that will sense the sound of somebody snoring, turn itself on, play a sound, and help alleviate the discomfort to the other person from snoring, and several other things we're working on.
Ralph, I understand that you've had an experience recently with our little back box. Could you talk about that?
I have used it. I had some back pain that was not working. It was not going away after a day or two, even though sitting in my jacuzzi. And the little back box certainly helped a lot.
In looking at this device, Ralph, it's a frequency generator. How did frequency help you relieve your backache? I find that a little hard to believe.
Yeah. I have a suspicion that it has to do with brain entrainment. You know, I'm listening to the sound through a headset, and so the sound energy and the frequency information are going into my brain. The brain operates on the level of frequencies and similar energies, and so I assume that in some way my brain is becoming in tune with those frequencies, and that is having an impact on the way my brain processes the signal coming in from the back.
Would you consider that a medical device?
Well, no, it's not really a medical device because medical devices have a very strict definition. And that definition has to do with...
Hello?
Yep, hold on a second. I'm looking at it. I've got that right here. Yes, under the under Section 360 of the Title 21 of the United States Code, there's a very specific definition. intended for human use, are supposed to be registered and tested. But there are certain exceptions. And basically, this device is not intended to support or sustain human life. I mean, it's not like an iron lung, you know, for example. It's not for use which is of substantial importance in preventing impairment of human health. It doesn't present any potential or unreasonable risk of illness or injury. We're just talking about very low frequency, very low volume sounds with normal headsets. So there's no likelihood of any injury. And then basically, it isn't treating any disease. And that's very important because its purpose is to help the body establish its normal structure and function. So it supports normal structure and function. And therefore, it doesn't fit in with the definition of a medical device any more than a massage wand would consider a medical device.
Bob, you've had experience with the little back box as a consumer. What did it do in your case?
Well, several times, of course, we were preparing to manufacture and doing testing, so I kind of induced some backaches by going out and lifting a bunch of firewood around, and I found probably 5 to 10 minutes after use of the little back box that fairly heavy pain was almost completely gone. I was also involved in studies with this. I had my initial bachelor's degree was in psychology, so I ran a few studies over at Ohio University with some students where we tested a pilot study around 30 students, all of whom had back pain from moderate to severe. Out of those 30 students, 95% of them had an average of a 50% reduction in the level of pain. And this was in a double-blind study, so that was quite amazing in itself.
You help manufacture these, you help put them together. Without revealing any of the intellectual property, do you know why they work?
That's your department. I just know that the sounds are very soothing. We've had a lot of people, when I ask people after they listen to the back sounds, what it's like, they said it feels like sometimes like fingers going up and down their spine. But it's a form of brainwave entrainment, but that's, like I said, that's your department.
Well, we have found certain frequencies that if we can get them to move through the skin, we'll massage the muscles with frequency, and it just is relaxation. We didn't design this for any trauma to the back, like degenerated disc or things like that, just real simple back stress. So they were designed with that in mind. Ralph, have you seen anything else like this on the market that works?
No, and that's very true. I've watched these devices for many years, a number of catalogs, a number of websites that I go to regularly, and I don't see anything that has the capacity of the devices that you're talking about. There are a lot of things out there. I mean, for example, Sherry, we know that there's a lady who took a couple of courses with you a number of years ago, and as I understand it, she's taken some of the old technology, which was protected by a court order, and she's selling a device and that people use to evaluate voice. The funny part about it is this MLM organization, vitamin organization, is using it and trying to advise people on what nutrients they should be taking, what vitamins they should be buying. And she does things like tell people that if the note C is out in their voice, that they need more vitamin C. And, you know, there's no scientific relationship between the note C and the vitamin C, unless, of course, Sherry, you know of a frequency relationship.
Well, I can think of one, a processing relationship, but what you're talking about with this lady is very, very old technology that we had in the beginning, way before we were able to do any of these sophisticated research projects that Bob put together. And yeah, there's a lot of things out there that are old and outdated, and we're going to move toward that in our discussion tonight. But you were talking about other devices. There are things like the TENS unit, which just fatigues the nerve and makes the signal not go to the brain. There are lots of other devices that we've been looking at, and Bob, as protection for our devices, has been scanning the internet for other kinds of things. You're an expert about these devices and how to get them on the market in a legal way. What does the FDA say about these devices? Are they the agency that regulates them?
Yes, they are. And as I said, the language I was reading a little earlier is actually from the regulations about what devices are covered and what ones are not covered. But there are a number of people out there with devices who claim to have FDA approval, and when you actually go on the FDA website, you find out that they applied for approval and were denied or never approved, or the approval expired years before. And so you have to really be careful with these devices that are out there.
How do they get away with that, Ralph?
Well, the FDA only has very limited resources to enforce rules unless somebody actually tells them that there's a company out there that's doing something wrong. It's hard for them to find those companies.
I was just looking, Ralph, at a site about a device that seems to be all over the internet, and they filed what you may be able to tell us a little bit about, the 510K, which is an exemption that the FDA gives if you have a device that falls operates similar to another device that's already approved. So this device that I found got an FDA 510K approval, and then there were some lawsuits filed, and the FDA revoked their approval, saying that they had a fraudulent filing, and they still on the internet, these people are still saying they're FDA approved.
Tell
right, me. I know that. Well, buyer beware. You know, and more than that, buyer, consider the reputation of the people you're dealing with, of the person who is the creative force behind whatever the device is. And that, you know, without wanting to embarrass you, Sherry, when people have the level of reputation that you have in the community, with the Osbergen English Humanitarian Award that you received, and your recognition by the New Science of the Year a couple of years ago, people can trust the work you're doing because you have the status and you have the reputation to back it. But when, you know, these people take a little bit of your ideas, oh, there's a person who has a fake MD selling an $18,000 device, and part of that device, one of the things he stole to make that device, as it were, are frequencies from your earlier devices. So you know, they're out there, and you have to be really careful.
Those people give a bad name to the whole industry. That's one of the considerations in this type of thing. People are out there selling their snake oil, and then people apply that across the whole board of, let's say, complementary medicine or alternative medicine, and it gives the whole industry a bad name when just a few people do that.
Yeah, and then there are those people out there. Then there are those people out there who are just massively overcharging what they're offering. You know, and what's really going to happen is, since the value of, you know, computing is really the key value to these things, not the hardware. The hardware can be changed and, you know, and made less expensive always, and will be, you know, always will be. It's really the content that's important. And I hope to see some of that web content that I know you're working on, Sherry, where people will be able to go on the internet and actually test their own voice and know what they need in nutrients that particular day in a really accurate way, and not based on some silly notion of, you know, if the note D is off in your voice, then you need more vitamin D, but rather based on the actual frequency relationships.
Well, you've given me several things that I want to ask you, but I want to ask Bob a question based on something you said, because I think he ran into a fake MD of one of these devices that claims that they can do something in 1 second or better, and the whole guy's MD is even a fake. Bob was telling me about that this morning. Would you repeat what you said to me this morning about that?
Yeah, I think Ralph and I probably maybe even are talking about the same device, which I won't mention, an $18,000 device, and person has 8 different PhDs and MDs and all kinds of things, and then you go and look where they came from, and they're from a university founded by the company that makes the device in the Turks and Caicos or Panama or somewhere like that. And you just really, really got to watch. I was just thinking about it today. You know, you look back at the old cowboy movies, and it just makes you think about this once again. The snake oil salesman and those people are out there. People need to watch out for them. People need to look at the history. I think the company that we're talking about, the person had been. Attempted to be arrested for fraud and moved out of the country and just all kinds of craziness, and people don't look deeply enough into the background and the research that's been done and the government connections and things like that. So it's too easy for people to just take because somebody says they're FDA approved and says they're a doctor and a professor and this and that for them just to believe it. It's the old thing, well, it was printed, it must be true, and people are still that way. They go, it's on the internet, it must be true. But it's something that people do need to look at who they're dealing with. And Sherry here has been doing this for 20 years, and we're on the property of a university. Our facilities are on a university campus, and there are just a lot of ways to look at the integrity of the people you're working with. And like I said, a few people in alternative medicine can really, really give a bad name.
I think this is the same device we were talking about this morning, and they have redesigned it. It's had 2 or 3 different names with one stable name. They're changing the end of it. They upped it to $27,000, guys.
Wow, it's gone up.
Yes, a bit. And I think they're saying they can do this all in 1 second. Bob, how are they doing that?
Yeah, there's a claim made that hooks some devices on your fingers and toes, I think, and run a charge through you, and it tells you what's wrong with you and fixes it all in 1 second. So
it actually applies electricity to the body.
Yes, it actually applies electricity to the body. So it's quite a claim. Like you can't always. I mean, the old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, and the probably is the main word there. It's not always is. What Sherry does here sounds too good to be true, but I think if Sherry said she could tell you what's wrong with you and fix it in one second, I probably wouldn't be here helping.
Right, I understand.
Okay.
My experience with the sound has always been that it does take a while to work, but I've had situations where I've had relief to back pain in just a couple of minutes, and I certainly think that it delivers what it promises.
Well, I think Bob also has this wild story about gout, that we relieved his gout in less than 6 seconds, but we had already done his vocal print, we'd already seen what his profile needed, so we just used the same frequency over and over for him when he eats the wrong things. When he eats a lot of meat and a lot of, a lot of acid or lentils or beans or something like that, it makes his body acid, and it's the same frequency. So over time, when we take someone's vocal print, then we can see what their process is, and it takes a lot less. But I don't want to lead people to believe that this is some kind of instant cure. Although, when we take this out to shows and we let people borrow the little back box, because anybody that's in a show where they've been sitting all day long, some of them usually have backaches. And usually it takes less than 4 or 5 minutes to get rid of the back pain. And sometimes they'll fight us over it. Bob, when you were doing experiments at the university with this little device, what kind of reactions did you get from people? Because you were working in some professors' classes that allowed you to use their students for guinea pigs.
Well, I found that a lot of the people wanted to keep holding on to the box. They wanted to know how to buy one. normally I think that particular experiment, I was giving him the sound for 15 minutes. Then after I'd go around two or three people in a class, then I go to another class and have two or three people that I would use as subjects. But after I went through all the subjects, often the people would want to keep on listening to the box. People tend to find it very soothing. It helps them sleep. It's just a pleasant sound. So it was kind of hard to get it from some of the people.
It isn't like music, though.
No, it's a very low rumbling sound, almost like, oh, I hate to say it, but like a furnace running or like an engine running far away. A very low, pleasant sound. Very low in frequency and very low in volume. You can watch TV and listen to it. You can pretty much carry on a conversation, do anything. It's not an obtrusive sound.
What does this look like? I mean, I know what it looks like. I'm just asking so the audience will know. It's a little teeny box, not much bigger than a cigarette package.
Yeah, a little bigger than a cigarette pack with just an on-off switch and a set of high-quality headphones that has a volume control on it, and that's it.
People can also use it as a speaker if they want to use it at night and they don't want to sleep with headphones. And the people that we've done with back pain, it can be back pain from overwork, it can be back pain from just having bad posture or sitting a strange way on a seat. But we didn't do their vocal profiles like we did with Bob's Gout, because there's a lot of generic sounds that allows us to be able to help people help themselves. And this really is a form of self-health. We have other boxes like the fibromyalgia box. According to which internet you read, there's either 10 or 30 million people who have fibromyalgia pain. And it's just like pain in the muscles from overworking. Your joints are real sore. I've experienced it a couple of times when I eat wrong and my metabolism gets all haywire. And you can put this box on and anywhere from like 3 to 10 minutes, your fibromyalgia pain goes away. And a lot of times people have been out there suffering for years with fibromyalgia pain. And you watch them put on this little box that is designed through low-frequency sound to entrain their brain waves to go, if the information goes through the skin to the muscles and begins to massage the muscles. We didn't set out to design it this way, but since the skin begins to vibrate and has sound receptors, and that's right next to the muscles, then the muscles begin to vibrate too. We've done this with back pain, migraines. Well, I remember we had one lady in here that had migraines, and she was on 5 or 6 different medications, and one gave her ulcers, and so they gave her medication for that ulcer. And she worked at a hospital. She was a nurse, and it ended up simply being a muscle. And we gave her the frequency for the muscle, and her migraines that she had been having for like 20 years went away, and she went off all the medication. Your brain speaks frequency, and we just found a way with these devices to tap in to what your brain is saying and entrain the brain to make the body do what it wants. We just found a way to speak frequency. But one of the things that we're finding in as we go to market, there's been so many people out there shasting people, frauds, selling everything, instant help, instant relief, that people are very reluctant to believe what we can do. And they do say things like, oh, if this was true, I would have heard about it by now. But I've been very reluctant to take it to market. And because I didn't have every answer as to how this works. But most people who get pain relief really don't care how we got into that state, including Bob. And some of you have heard his story where he wouldn't even let me look at his leg. He had a leg that was messed up in a motorcycle accident. And we offered, my husband and I offered to help him with it. And he just was like, go away. You know, this is, I don't want to deal with this mystic foo-foo kind of gunk. But I snuck and put the sounds on for him. And it took his pain away. And from then on, he believed me, and he really didn't care how it worked. He just cared that it worked. And he went out to talk to people about it. And you kind of ran into a stone wall, didn't you, Ralph, about people believing this?
Right.
Ralph, were you going to say something?
No, I wasn't. I was just disagreeing with you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to get people to accept or even to listen about something that they're not familiar with or something that seems too incredible. And I tell people, well, DNA testing 20 years ago, if you said I can take a hair and tell you if you're related to George Washington, people would have said you're crazy. They wouldn't even wanted to listen to you. And you know, the technological advances in that type of testing, everybody will accept that. So why is it so incredible that certain sounds can help your body? I mean, you put chemicals in your body and they interact. Pills say they interact with your body and interact on a molecular basis. Sound, there's, we saw an article in Smithsonian Magazine a year or so ago, a Dr. James, and his name is spelled like you would say Gimzuski, but it's pronounced Gimchewski. You could probably find him. It's G-I-M-Z-W-S-K-I if you put it into Google. But he found that molecules were vibrating and therefore making sounds. And he's a professor at UCLA. Very interesting. Some of that research just backed up what Sherry's been doing and saying, but it's not so fantastic. It's just something people haven't heard of. It's been there all along. Just nobody's taken the time really to delve deeply into it enough to attempt to start understanding it.
When you try to explain it to Dr. Gimchewski, what did he say?
He said he wasn't surprised at all. He said, I suspect that playing sounds would affect a molecule, and the molecules also make sounds. They vibrate, they resonate. He really wanted to hope that he could get enough time to work with you someday.
One of the things that astounded me about his article was it said, if we could find out what these frequencies really mean, maybe we could figure out why the body becomes diseased. And I'm going, hey, yoo-hoo, we've been here for 20 years. But again, Ralph, you've been with us for about that long. How long have you been with us? About
five or six years.
And you run into this all the time. We have this idea that if we can make back pain go away, we could do things with NASA, like exercise muscles in space. We could help exercise muscles where people are bedridden or they've just had an operation and they can't move, that we can use these frequencies to exercise their muscles. When you talk to NASA, what do they say?
They're very interested in talking to us about this, but some of the problems are the processes that have to be followed to deal with the government, that's safeguards and such. So going through grant processes and all that. As a matter of fact, just last week I spoke to some people from NASA regarding heart analyzation of heart problems in space and muscle problems, and they're in need of something. One of the neat things here is that we're talking about two different things. Now we're getting into taking voice prints and determining the status of the body from voice prints. But that'll probably be another show. They're very interested in that because they can't send a doctor up with every time they send one or two people up into space. So
we really don't have to take vocal prints for muscles because we have those frequencies figured out. So we can make muscles relax, or we can make muscles stronger. For sports teams, we could probably look at weak or strong muscles by a voice print. But if somebody came in and said, "Oh, my arm feels really weak," and they point to a muscle, we can give them a sound and make that muscle much stronger, and we've run tests on that. So for muscles in particular, we don't need to do a vocal print unless somebody wants something very, very specific. So we can make muscles release and we can make muscles stronger. Ralph, in dealing with the FDA and the people who have to have some kind of assurance, like he was saying, through through NASA, about how much money does it take to get something approved?
You know, that varies, but in the least it's many tens of thousands of dollars, and it can go up to millions of dollars.
So you think that's why people lie, that they have FDA approval?
I don't know what their motivations are, but one can surmise.
Or maybe just greed.
That's always a factor, too.
Bob, I know you were involved in the last few months with going to NIH, National Institute of Health, and demonstrating one of these muscle boxes. We can't name names, but can you talk about that experience?
Yes, we had an appointment with some of the high administrative people at the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. And we took a little back box just to kind of show them what it was. They'd heard of us and invited us over there. And so we took the little back box and we said, "Well, here's what it is. If you want to listen to it, you can, just to get an idea of what it is." So one of the people there put this on and started shaking his hand. And we said, "Well, what's wrong?" Sherry can tell you more about what specifically it was. I think it's called, was it trigger finger or something?
Yeah. It was where he tried to bend his finger and it just hit a spot where it wouldn't bend, and then it clicks through that and it looks like the finger's jerking.
So anyway, the box wasn't specifically for that, and Sherry can probably explain why it had the effect it did on something it wasn't designed for, the way the frequencies work a little bit. But anyway, he used this, put the back box on, and we're talking and had a meeting, 5-6 people there. We're having a meeting, and all of a sudden he goes, "This is magic. This works like magic." And he's shaking his hand and saying this, and just kept saying, "This is magic." And we're going, "What's magic?" And he goes, my finger. I haven't been able to do this in years. And for some reason, the frequencies, the way the back box works, some things require specific frequencies specific to the individual. Some things require the frequencies are on a more broad spectrum. In the back box, Cheryl can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but there are several frequencies in there that we have found one of those frequencies likely will help everybody. In other words, it's kind of the it's the catch-all box. It's got several frequencies that we know one of the several will help almost everybody. So anyway, one of those frequencies made his hand better, and he was just amazed and invited us back.
One of the amazing things that I think he said to us was, "Okay, you guys have a vocal profiling, an analysis program that can tell people what's wrong, a computer program, and you have a device, a treatment phase, and a way to fix it. Don't tell anybody that you have both, because nobody's going to believe this." Am I right in that interpretation of what he said?
Yes, that's it. He said you have two amazing things, and it's hard enough to get people to believe you have one, so if you tell me you have two, they're really not going to believe you. But these two things go hand in hand. The way the vocal prints work, and they give indicators of what frequencies are needed, it's they're interwoven.
I don't know and I'm going to ask you guys to answer this. Why is it so hard to believe that this frumpy little housewife from Ohio with no education, nearly no education, could come up with this idea? And I mean, it's not from Harvard or Yale, or we'd probably believe it, right?
It's because you have that natural ability to perceive what you're perceiving, and you are not prejudiced by the assumptions of the academic world. Although at the same time, with your training in education, your master's degree in education, you understand how to communicate ideas, and it's this combination that really enables you to do what you're doing.
Thank you, Ralph. I got the education after I had the ideas because nobody would listen to me.
Right.
They said, oh, you don't have any degrees. And I said, but look at what I can do. Well, I don't care what you can do. We had one guy that we were helping, a man that had emphysema, helping him breathe easier so he could get up and walk around. And the doctor told this guy that if you continue to deal with this quack, I'm not going to be your doctor. And he says, but look, I can breathe. Look, my oxygenation has improved considerably. And this doctor still wouldn't deal with this man, wouldn't deal with me, because I didn't have any medical credentials. Where does this prejudice come from? Neither one of you are going to answer me?
That's just human nature.
It is a prejudice that's been around for a very long time, and sometimes you have to really rub their noses in it because it's the paradigm shift. That is the idea. The old generation has to die out before the new ideas can take hold. Well, hopefully that's happening.
Well,
there are major changes, as we know, happening right now. Americans spend more money on alternative and complementary approaches than they do on standard, slash and burn pathology, and that's very important.
Well, why will somebody go out and buy a pill just because somebody on TV tells them it works, and yet they won't try something like this? We're not saying people won't try, because we have plenty of people that do try it, but across society, my leg, what's happened with my leg, I've had muscle and nerve reconstruction. My mom has seen it happen, but yet my mom says, oh, that's okay, I don't want to come over there. She's got eye problems, the things that Sherry's worked with, and likely could do something, but she goes, no, that's okay, just being polite. But I think people feel a discomfort or a foolishness. They're worried that they're going to be thought of as gullible if they try something new. But yet, why do people, the new drug comes on TV and everybody's going out buying it? Why is that, Ralph?
Oh, why does people run out and buy this $27,000 machine that just, it's so far-fetched. And when you listen to this guy on the videos, his voice is so flat, you can tell he's lying. Now, we did a program last week on lying and played some commercials where the people's voices were totally flat. And you can tell this guy's lying, yet people still buy it on some fantastic hope of what's going to happen. And that's one of the reasons I've gone so slow and try to really substantiate what's going on. We have some wonderful people working with us and helping us deal with this. We have a Dr. Rudy that's going to be on the show, and he came to us with a presumed diagnosis of MS. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. He's an MD, was doing emergency medical medicine from a scooter in an emergency room in a Lancaster hospital, a city near here. And it took several months, but we then took lab tests and was able to substantiate that his nerves regrew. Just recently, he had an internal pump removed that was feeding him medication that kept the pain down. Actually, he hadn't used the pump for a long time. That's why they removed it, because he didn't need the pain medication anymore. And then 2 weeks ago, we got reports back showing that he had no abnormalities whatsoever in his lab tests and in his spinal fluids. Now, we could tell from the beginning, from his vocal profiles and comparing them to other people, that his muscle injuries were not MS. It came from a spinal injury. And we're able to look at those things through the vocal print and then provide information back. I mean, he's up walking now. He's getting married. He's happy. He's gained weight. He looks wonderful. But even with what was going on with him, he wouldn't tell his colleagues what he was doing. So I think Bob's right in that people don't want to look foolish. And until his lab test came out, he wouldn't tell his own colleagues. So that's
They are oriented toward this issue of substantiation. It's important that people, can trust what they're being told by marketers. That's based on the substantiation. But I think that, again, it's a paradigm shift. It's new ideas coming in. And, the AMA Code of Ethics now makes space for new ideas. Under Ethics Opinion 3.04, physicians are supposed to cooperate with other healthcare providers.
Well, there's big...
If for therapies that may benefit, which is not the same thing as treatment of disease, using pills with dangerous side effects, or using, radiation or that sort of stuff. So this is a very good development. And I think that you'll find more people being willing to try devices like your little back box. People can find the little back box, on the internet. If they go to little-back-box.net, I believe, I'll check that for you, they can find photos of it and the phone number to call your office.
We have some press releases about that, too, that people could get in touch with us by writing soundhealth@soundhealth.org, and we could send them those press releases. Also, Bob, don't you have an invoice website that has some of these press releases and information on it?
Yeah, there's an invoice. There's a website, the letter N, voice.org, and there's no I before the N. It's just the letter N and the word voice. And there's all kinds of information about the back box on there.
Ralph, do you have that press release about that on your website?
Yes, I do. The original press release, it's right there on the littlebackbox.org website. That's little-back-box. So the dashes are an important part of the name.
One of the things I loved about that press release, it was back pain succumbs to Star Trek medicine. And the official Star Trek site put that article on their sites saying, the medicine dealing with frequencies that Star Trek started a few decades ago has now become a reality. So
it's definitely becoming a reality. I'm looking forward to seeing that develop in the near future.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was double-blind studies, and everybody comes to us and says, did you do double-blind studies? Now, double-blind studies originated from the medicine, the pharmaceutical companies, so they could test large groups of people. Double-blind studies are not really designed for what we do, although we've done some with muscles, things like giving people three frequencies and only one of them was designed to make a muscle stronger. So we've done some double-blind, but there really isn't a frequency that is not going to have some kind of effect on people. But I think the public has been duped into believing that only double-blind studies are the thing. And that really isn't efficacy. Whether or not something works has a big impact on research and what's happening with it. I think what we're doing with frequency is moving medicine forward, and the more we come out with our studies and what we've done, like with the fibromyalgia study, 54 out of 57 people got a degree of relief, a lot of them 100% relief. The other three people, we were able to tell they had high iron. But for fibromyalgia, we usually don't test people unless the box doesn't work. And then we go in and try to find out what the cause is. So the more research we do, the more press releases we have about the research that we do, the more credibility is going to come forward with this. But
in addition to that, Sherry, you are publishing on peer-reviewed journals, not just the Journal of Bioacoustic Biology, which is at jbab.org, but also on other peer-reviewed journals. And if that occurs, people will begin to see the scientific value of what's being done.
Now, the American Acoustic Society just accepted an abstract for publication, and the Journal of Bioinformatics. There's even a new language for what we're doing now. Computational biology, bioacoustic biology, vocal profiling is a new word, human bioacoustics is a new term, sonistry, the idea that the body has a system of sound, just like it has a system of chemistry. So we are breaking, we are breaking new ground, but at the same time, that's hard. We don't have any funding except what we earn here, although we have, we have been invited by NIH to apply for some of these new grants that you were talking about. So I think what we're doing here is the very basis of moving medicine forward. And I think the medical tests that we're able to afford and substantiate what we're doing in terms of back pain or no back pain, there's not a lot of substantiation, either you have the pain or you don't. But if we can look at things like Dr. Rudy, that nerves regrew, and his is not the first case. You know, there's lots of others.
That is the type of substantiation that counts a lot in the marketplace, indeed.
Ralph, can you think of anything really fantastic that you've seen us do that you were...
I remember I was retching terribly and had, it was clammy and sweaty and really, going through that whole thing. And Kathy got me to do a 30-second voice print. Of course, my wife Kathy is a researcher in bioacoustics, and she looked at it and she saw a signature that she felt was the involved or was representative of the cause of what was going on to me, and she created a little series of frequencies around that and put them on my ears, and within the 8-minute period that I listened to those frequencies, I started to calm down. I started to breathe normally. I stopped retching. I had been just literally upchucking every couple of minutes, and I stopped being clammy and feeling cold, and everything sort of normalized. And a process that could have taken 2 weeks, perhaps, literally took a few minutes, and after that, I felt much, much better.
So that's what it took for you—a personal belief.
Absolutely, it took for me. I had to experience it, which I've experienced it a number of times. So that's one that really stands out. But, that testimonial, they say, results not typical. That happened to me. We need to look at what happens to large groups of people. And most people find that certainly that low-frequency sound can be very calming and relaxing. And that's a big step towards feeling better, no matter what.
Bob, of all the things that you've experienced here, do you have a favorite?
Probably Dr. Rudy. I've seen you work with AIDS patients with severe pain. That's why I'm here. I started out being skeptical, and I ran into Sherry. My leg was almost cut off, and I used to play tennis. At a very high level, I was a sparring partner for a top 100 in the world, and I couldn't play tennis anymore. Make a long story short, ran into Sherry's husband, played tennis. He told me about Sherry. 6-8 years after I had my accident, I still wasn't walking properly and couldn't run at all. Within a year, I was running again. This is after I'd already reached my maximum recovery, and I went into a whole new stage of recovery.
And you play tennis, right?
Oh, I'm playing every day now. I played last night. So I'm actually getting ready to go back and start playing tournaments again. But I went from not being able to walk and not being able to run or jump to where I'm just absolutely normal now, other than that my leg looks like it went through a meat grinder.
Sherry, looking at the time, I'm not able to stay on the line any longer.
Okay.
I have a great trip to Chicago, and I'll be talking to both of you people, I'm sure, very soon.
Thank you. We're just going to talk about the classes available for people.
So bye-bye.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye-bye.
One of the things I found fantastic in your cases were, Bob, as we're working with you, we've watched your blood sugar become an issue over the last few years, and I guess 2 days ago, you had an incident with blood sugar and came up to the lab.
Yeah, it was actually a couple of days ago. I was at combination blood sugar, caffeine. I dumped too much coffee in the coffee machine and had a whole thermos bottle full of espresso, effectively. And I went to Sherry and said, "Well, I'm feeling pretty jumpy and pretty bad here. This might be a good time to take a voice print, see if we can isolate this." So she did, and she put on a sound, and I went from ready to spring out of my skin to ready to go to sleep in about 2 minutes. We went a little too far with it, and I don't know, she counteracted that caffeine and sugar imbalance just in a very few minutes. One, by taking a print of my voice to analyze it, and then playing a sound to counterbalance, or either the sound made my body create a chemical to counterbalance that. I guess Sherry'd have to tell you how that works.
I wish I knew how that works. I just used your vocal print to see what was way too high in your chart and gave you the antidote, and that's a really easy thing to do. We did it in just a couple minutes. I think two of the fantastic things that I've seen that have impressed me tremendously is bringing people out of anaphylactic shock. That we had one lady that was poisoned with 409, and we live out in the country too far away to get to an ambulance or a hospital before this lady was going to die. And we put a frequency on and were able to help her start to breathe again. And I would like to create a device that just was like a little watch. And since you're in charge of creating devices around here, Bob, what do you think about a watch that if somebody was having a reaction to peanut butter or to a bee sting, and instead of going and getting an EpiPen and shooting themselves up with a shot, they could sort of tap that little watch, a little looks like a watch, and they could get their frequencies so that they didn't have to go into shock.
Yeah, that would work. The frequencies you're saying to be applied to the skin then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be done. I know that one time I had an earache, and you put an aspirin sound on. Aspirin's very effective for me in sore throats and earaches, and I went from pain to numbness, which is what aspirin does for me, within a few minutes, within, say, less than 10 minutes. And you put a sound on that you said was an aspirin equivalent that worked just as if I'd have taken aspirin. And aspirin upsets my stomach, so there are a lot of it. Advantages to using the sound.
Well, one of the things, the other one real quick, is I've seen it set bones, which I think is just phenomenal. I don't understand that, particularly with animals. I wish we could get in touch with this horse that was so fantastic that just broke its leg, to see if we could do some experiments with that. But the phenomenal thing about, the most phenomenal thing I think we've invented is a way for people to do this for themselves. That we've created computer programs that almost anybody with a computer can use. The classes are free, so that you can begin to have dominion over your own health. You can look at your nutrition. You can look at your muscles. We have a new program just coming out called Invoice, which looks at your personality and tells you your deep hidden secrets from within by your own voice. It goes on the idea that the voice is a holographic representation of who and what you are, and that you should be able to have dominion over that. So if you're in pain, if you're in back pain, get in touch with us. You can try out one of these back boxes. We travel all over the country. If you have fibromyalgia, get in touch with us. If you want to join one of our online classes, get in touch with us. All you need is a computer and a fast connection.
High-speed connection.
So you can set right in your own living room. And in most cases, we will give you the programs for the first 30 days to make sure that this is what you want to do. It's our idea that everybody is complaining about not trusting somebody, not trusting Big Pharma, not trusting reporters, not trusting your doctors, not trusting medication. So we've created a way for you to do it for yourself. So get in touch with us about these programs. Look at our website, vocalprofileing.com. Find out how you can become part of this movement for self-health. And I always leave you with a thought. The thought today is going to be about, if God asked you to fail, and you did, would you consider yourself a failure? Everything happens for a reason. It's what we do about it that makes a difference. And if you want to make a difference in your life and your health, if you want to quit complaining, if you want to be a part of moving medicine forward, please get in touch. This is Sherry Edwards on BBS Radio with Sound Health Alternatives. And until next time...
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.